Am I on?
Yes.
Good. Acts chapter 14. We'll look at Acts chapter 14. While you're turning there, I want to introduce you to our family. A lot of y'all probably know my wife. She used to be Joanna Heisey. She's now your White, right? Yeah. Joanna White. And we met on the mission field. We're both second generation missionaries. We both started, our family both started working with the Gypsy people about 20 years ago. My family in November of 98, her family in April of 99. And we met through a mutual Gypsy friend from Cleveland, Ohio. He's the one that visited the church in Olean and at a mission conference, and he tells the story. He didn't get support from that church, but he got the pastor. And through Walter Stevens, the Heiseys moved to Romania. And then in 2001, they came to visit our work and saw our ministry. And then we had the privilege of taking Uncle Walter and Aunt Dolly down, Stevens, down to Romania. And we were supposed to meet another missionary family that just happened to be working with Gypsies as well. And that's when I met the Heisey family. Up until then, I had no idea they existed. But God worked it out that I got to see a little bit of the heart that God had given her for not only for the ministry, but also for the people that I love, the Gypsies. And that's the church's explanation, or the way I explain it in church. That's the shorted version, okay? It happened, and God worked a lot more things out, and but God worked it out that in 2004, we got married, and we've been married happily for 14 and a half years, and God has given us 5 kids. Our oldest is Michelle Grace, she's 12, then Lily Joy, she's 10, Chloe Faith, she's 8. I'm so glad they're 2 years apart, it's easier. And Jimmy Bruce White III, he's 5, and our youngest is Queen Esther, and she just turned 2. And I've been telling her since she was born that she's my Queen Esther, and now I think it's slowly going to heart and to mind. Now, if I ask her for a kiss, she'll point what cheek she wants me to kiss, and sometimes even lean her head in so I can kiss her forehead. And but we're so privileged to be here. We met your pastor over the phone from a mutual friend, Cliff Taylor. We were out in Las Vegas, Nevada. Had a church there. He winters there and does the Bible Institute there. And we were presenting our work, and he said, "Hey, are you going to be in the New York area?" And I said, "Well, we're going to be in New York. What?" And he said, "Well, here's the pastor's phone number. Call him up. He's a good man, and he'll let you." At least let you talk with him. And I called your pastor, and he right away let us schedule a meeting, and we really appreciate that. And this evening we want to not only introduce our family, but also introduce you to our ministry, the ministry that God has given us. In Acts 14, verse 27, it says, "And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles." Now, this is Paul and Barnabas coming off their first missionary journey, that time where the Holy Spirit had talked to the church in Antioch and told them, hey, I want you to take these two men apart and I want you to send them out because I have something prepared for them. And what the Holy Spirit had planned for them is for them to go into the Gentile world and preach the gospel and see something happen that hadn't happened before. The gospel was going to go freely to the Gentiles. They would accept it, get baptized, and through that start local churches in all these different Gentile cities. And Paul and Barnabas are now coming back home to the church that they were sent out of. And once the church was gathered, then they rehearsed everything that God had done. Did you know this, Seth? They said everything that God did.
Amen.
Not what Paul and Barnabas did. And they could have. They could have got put on airs, and Paul in one passage even lists all his qualifications that he had. A Pharisee, a Pharisee, and whatever, all his things that he's learned. And he could have said, hey, look what we did. But that's not what they did. They realized God was working, God was in control, and he did something. And they wanted to tell the church what God had done. They wanted to take some time and basically brag on God. And that's what we want to do this evening. Just brag on God a little bit.
Amen.
And share with you what he's doing.
Amen.
Because if I could just sit down and imagine what I would like out of life, I couldn't have came up with
that's
this story.
Right.
My parents surrendered to be a missionary when I was 2 years old. When I was 4 years old, they were out on the deputation trail going from one church to another. And you know what? That helped me. God showed me, and I was able to hear the gospel message preached, not only from my parents, not only from my dad, but also from different preachers, different missionaries, and also from different Sunday school teachers. We were in a different church every Sunday almost, all over the United States, and I got to hear the simple gospel message that Jesus Christ died for our sins, was buried, and rose again according to the scriptures on the third day. And God used that to convict me at an early age of my sins, yes, and my need for salvation.
Amen.
And one evening, I leaned over to my dad and I said, during the invitation, I said, Daddy, I want to get saved. And he didn't understand me. He thought I wanted to go outside or play or something. Back then, I had a speech problem. Not many people could understand me. The only one that did was my older sister, and she translated for me. I look at that as God getting me ready for cross-cultural ministry as well. And because once I go to Romania, I have to have an interpreter as well. But when I asked my dad if I could get saved, he said, no, just wait. Thinking I wanted to go outside, go to play, or whatever a little boy wants to do after a long service. And I didn't understand that he didn't understand me. And I'm slow, so it took a while. But the next day when it really sank in, I realized that, man, I'm going to die and go to hell just because my dad said I couldn't get saved. And that didn't compute. I thought, wow, there's my hero of the faith. And he still is my hero of the faith. He's leaving everything he knows to go preach the gospel message to these people that he doesn't know. And then the person he knows, he's saying, I can't get saved. And I'm so glad my older brother told me, when he saw me crying, he said, you know, Bruce, you must have misunderstood Daddy, or Daddy misunderstood you. That's not true. Once you realize your need of salvation, that you are a sinner, and you're ready to repent, and you are ready to put your full trust in God, you can do it. And when you realize that Jesus died on the cross for you, was buried and rose again the third day, you can get saved. And he took me aside and showed me, and I put my full trust in God that day, and I am so glad that I became a child of God. And you know, I'm 41 years old now. And when I look back, I've committed more sins after I got saved than before, just year-wise, okay? But at that moment, God forgave me that penalty of sin.
Amen.
But at the same time, he forgave me and he made me a new creature and he made me a child of God and he showed me a new life as well.
Amen.
And I got to grow up not only just physically, but also spiritually, learning how to live the Christian life. And I've learned that God is always in control. He never leaves. He didn't just save us so we can be saved and go to heaven and live up in eternity, but he wanted to save us, to give us life, and that's more of abundance. He has a way, a way that we should walk in. And he has a plan, and he's working. He's working his plan, and he's working before we get on the scene, while we're on the scene, and if the Lord tarries even after we leave the scene, he'll continue, and he will do his plan. It's his plan. But through his grace and mercy, he allows us to be a part of it. He could have done it any way he could imagine. Just think, when he had the world called into existence, he just spoke it, and it happened. So if he wanted the gospel to get around the world, he could have spoke it, and it would have happened. But that's not his will. His will is for the church to, once they get saved and baptized, to take what they've learned and pass it on.
Amen.
And share the gospel throughout the world. And God used so many things. Not only my history as being a missionary's kid, growing up in Europe. I've been in Europe since 6 years old. We've gotten to see works among the Austrians, the Germans, but not until 1998 did we get introduced to another people group that have been in Germany for over 600 years. And they're the Gypsies of Germany, the Sinti Gypsies. We, in Germany, we don't call them the Gypsies or even the German word Zigeuner, because if you think about it, those two words are derogatory, okay? Somebody gyps you, so they're a gypsy. The German word is Zigeuner. It's two words. Zien means traveling, and Gauner is crook. So traveling crook. So we don't use those two words. They themselves, when they look at themselves or talk about themselves, they're either the Sinti or Roma. And our family works with the Sintis. The Heisies work with the Roma. And the only reason is because that's where God opened the door. And so in 1998, my dad got a phone call from two gypsy men asking him to come over and have a Bible study. And if you know our gypsy people, they're their own nation. They have been recognized by the European Union, the UN, and also the German government as a nation inside of a nation. So they're set up just like a nation. They are still under the German laws, but they have, in addition, their own laws, their own government, their own judiciary system. They do have their own language, but the ones in Germany, because they went through the Holocaust, they didn't learn teach their young that language because they didn't want the kids being playing out in the playground without and speaking a foreign language. So there's a generation or gap. So all our preaching and teaching is done in the German language, but they are their own nation and they have everything a sovereign nation has besides a land deeded to them. And really, they do not want a land. They're nomads. They travel around. They used to travel around all year round. Now they're realizing from November until Easter, it gets kind of cold in Germany, and it's hard to keep those trailers heated. So now they do, from November until Easter, they do have houses, brick and mortar houses or apartments where they stay at. And then as soon as the weather warms up, they head out. And they go from campground to campground, normally stay 3 to 4 weeks at one place and then move on. And so how do you reach a people group that is their own nation? They do speak the same language, you know, because I went to German schools. I know German. So all our preaching and teaching is done in the German language. But at the same time, they have laws and their laws are not written down. You can't Google it. You can't go into any library and look up the Constitution of the Gypsy Nation. It's not written down anywhere. You have to, basically, you have to learn it from your grandfather or your father teaches you, and it passes on down the line. Their language is not written down. Their laws are not written down. And so how do you reach a people group that at one time, some laws, and some of the laws are certain things you cannot say, certain words you don't say. And a lot of it is one strike and you're out. So how do you reach it? Well, you have to have a God that is almighty, and that is working, and that loves the world and loves nations. And in the Revelations, we see that God is going to be praised because his blood was shed for, did you notice, for every tribe and tongue and for every nation.
Amen.
And God wanted there to be a gypsy nation, a German gypsy nation in heaven. And so he worked out that American missionary was in Germany when those people were ready. And they called my dad. He went over and had the Bible study. In this Bible study, there was an old lady that she went through the Holocaust. She wasn't arrested, but 19 of her family members were. And they were sent to Auschwitz, and she never heard from them again. And she had built this bitterness up in her, and she really disliked the Germans. And when we first met the gypsies, the whole nation really were against the Germans, but the Germans were against them as well. Throughout history, they've always been on the outskirts of society, always looked down upon. But that old lady, at the end of the Bible study, she stood up just there in the apartment, started crying and asking God to forgive her of her sins and for hating the Germans for so long. And that's when God opened the door for our family to go in to this closed community that is very tribal, that you have to be invited in to stay in. And God worked it out. I didn't choose what nation I am going to be from. I'm proud to be American. I'm glad that I didn't have nothing to do with the American military, but we love them. I don't know what your standpoint is on them, but we love them. And if you've served, thank you for your service.
Amen.
Without the American military, we would not have a gypsy nation in Germany. The military liberated the gypsies from the concentration camp, and so they have a special heart for the American people. And so when we came and presented the gospel, American presenting the gospel of a God that loves them so much that he left heaven to die for their sins and was buried and rose again, then it was like they would accept it. Germans have tried it and it hasn't worked, but it's working. And God has grown that ministry. But we met them in November, and then come Easter of 99, we saw these trailers outside. And they hooked up their trailers, and then they were gone without any notice. They didn't tell us. We went there one Tuesday for Bible studies, and they were gone. And we didn't hear from them until the next November. They called us up. Hey, we're back home. Can we start up our Bible studies? And yeah, okay. And so we started the Bible studies and started seeing more people get saved. But the believers, we basically had to start from ground zero again because they had been gone for 6 months and not walking in the faith and stuff. And so we started over, and then come towards Easter of 2000, we started seeing the trailers out again. And oh man, it's going to do it again. How are you ever going to have a chance to start anything with a people group that's only there for 6 months? And then you have Bible study, and then they're gone. How? Well, God, again, he's always in control. He's working. And he has a way. You know, once they get saved, they don't automatically become Americans. They don't automatically lose their nationality.
Right.
They're
exactly.
Still gypsies. They're just gypsies saved by grace.
Amen.
And they get baptized, and then they start learning the scriptures and the doctrines and the principles of the scripture and learn how to be a God-fearing gypsy. How to live a gypsy life the way God wants them to do, be it. And so, but how are you supposed to do that if you don't have the people? Well, God has a way too. God is in control. He's the one that had the Bible written.
Yes,
for Paul and Barnabas, it was something new too. They had to rely on the Holy Spirit and God to show them where to go and how to do it. Why do we have the epistles? To teach us, to show us how they taught their people and how they reached it. And would you look with me in Acts 14? Now I want to read a few verses and continue with this thought that God is in control. And God knows what's going on. And Paul and Barnabas, in verse 20, he says, "Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up and came into the city. And the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God." Now what is Paul doing here? Paul and Barnabas, first, he just got stoned to death. And he stands up And he goes to another city, preaches the gospel, and then he starts backtracking. He's now heading back to Antioch, and now what is he doing? He's going back to Lystra. That's where he just got stoned to death. Then he goes to Iconium. That's where they ran him out. And then he finally ends up back to Antioch. Antioch is the church they sent him out, and that's the church where they have been without their best preachers and teachers for so long. And now he's going back, and what is he doing? He's now passing on the things they need to, in those different cities, how they can become a church and how they can grow in their Christian walk and. And how does he do it? He starts confirming the souls of the disciples. He starts teaching them, okay, the things that God didn't just save you for eternity so you can go to heaven, but he has a plan for you, your life. He starts training them, confirming. He's teaching them, discipling them, and giving them everything that Jesus taught them. That's the Great Commission, right? We're supposed to go into all the world and what? And preach the gospel and then baptize them. And once they're baptized, then teach them everything that Jesus taught us. And that's what Paul and Barnabas are doing. They're confirming the souls of the disciples. But how do we do that just with 6 months? Well, you have to have God working behind the scene and our gypsies. And you have to realize too that the Holy Spirit works if you're there or not. He doesn't leave when you leave. Children of God, he indwells them and he's working in their lives. And your job as a missionary is to preach the gospel and to sow the seed and then allow God to give the increase. And so in the summer of 2000, our gypsies hooked up their trailers and headed out. And we thought, well, okay, we won't see them until November. A few weeks passed and we got a phone call. Our gypsy said, well, hey, we're down in Vienna, Austria, and we realize we can't go another summer without Bible studies and church services. We need the preaching. And so we own this campground and we need some Bible studies. So we went to the guest house. The guy that owns it has a conference room. We've already talked with him. We can rent it. We can have our Bible studies throughout the summers there. And so if you can make your way, can you come down and preach the gospel to us? And what are you going to do as a missionary? If somebody says, hey, come, you got a place to preach, you go. Even if it's 350 miles away.
Yes, sir.
Even if it's in a different country, in Austria, you head down there, and God used that to open the door for us not only to have a winter ministry, but also a summer ministry. Amen. Among the gypsy people. Mm-hmm. We first started out with the ones in Nuremberg. And our gypsies, they know who they are, okay? So the ones in Nuremberg, those are the Nurembergers, and they even call themselves Nurembergers. And the ones from Bamberg are the Bambergers and Bayreuthers. So they know, just like you know where you're from, they know where they're from. And so the church, God started blessing, and we had the first church in Nuremberg. And basically, in the summer months, that local church in Nuremberg splits up to 5 different groups in the summer. So we basically have the believers of that church on 5 different locations in the summer. And our gypsies are very family-oriented, so they're traveling. One reason they do travel is to keep their families together. And so when they travel, then with those five groups, they're joined by other gypsies from all over Germany that are somehow related to them, or their kids married up there that way. And so to keep the family together, then they travel together. But you know what happened? That opened up the door where we were starting meeting gypsies from all over Germany. We're able to preach the gospel to them, and we were seeing them get saved and baptized throughout the summer months, and they would start growing in the Lord. And then they would head back home, not to Nuremberg in the winter, but to Bamberg or Bayreuth or Saarland or Krefeld, and head back home. And they would get back to the city they originated out of, and they would start noticing, hey, we're missing something. All through the summer, we're under the word of God. Amen. We need it. So they would pick up the phone again and say, hey, do you mind coming in the winter months to our city and helping us establish a local church here? And of course, yes. And we started, and now through that ministry, there has been seven local churches that God has established throughout Germany. And our baby church was started in September, the 1st of September 2018. And God is growing. One of the churches, the second to the last church, is in Karlsruhe. And up until just here recently, my dad and I haven't been there yet. I still haven't been there. My dad went there just here at the beginning of April. But the way that church got started, the men that we ordained in Nuremberg met through the summer traveling. Their nephew that lives in Karlsruhe, he heard the gospel, got saved, baptized, started growing in the Lord, had a heart to reach his people in Karlsruhe. So he asked the ordained men from Nuremberg, can you come and help us? They went. They're already self-propagating. Up until now, I haven't been to the church in Karlsruhe. And it was established in 2017 by gypsies. And it is mind-blowing what God is doing. And I keep asking myself, why me, God? Why our family? And you can't come up with a reason. The only reason is because that's part of God's plan. God wanted to use us. And we had to be willing to be used. And what I'm learning in the scripture is that God has plans for all of us. I don't know what God has for you. I don't know if he just has your future here in Black Creek, or if he has something more for you, or something else. I don't know that. I'm not almighty, all-knowing, but God is. Amen. God knows it, and God has a perfect will for your life, and he wants you to walk in the way that he wants to show you. He wants to do that. And he wants to, but the one thing you have to do, you have to come to a point where the same way you put your trust in him for salvation, you have to put your trust in him for everyday living. That in what his will, that's what in Proverbs, that's what it's talking about trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. That's what Proverbs is talking about. We need to, in our everyday life, trust God, that God is working. And you know, we could have, at any time of the trip, could have said, oh, this is too hard, God. God, traveling 350 miles just to have church services? Or now, trying to learn a different culture? Haven't we done enough? We've learned Austrian, German, and then all the refugees coming once the Iron Curtain fell down. Isn't it enough? No, it's not enough. If we're here on earth, If we're still breathing, God's still willing to use us. Yes. And he still has a plan for us to work. And so just like Paul and Barnabas, we have to trust in God and realize that God is the one that is opening the door. That God is working. And so we have to go and confirm the disciples and show them, hey, listen, God is working. God has a plan for your life. And then exhorting them to continue in the faith. Now, this is where you keep on repeating yourself a lot of times, where you keep on going over the basics. And sometimes you want to step in the role of the Holy Spirit and take your Bible and can't you get it, okay? But as a missionary, you're not allowed to do that, okay? Moses, it didn't work out with Moses when he hit the rock. And we missionaries, that's something we keep telling ourselves. Don't hit the rock. Don't get bitter. Keep exhorting them. But also you have to realize that you're not there to do the job for everything. Your job is to teach and to train, to pass the knowledge that God gave you on. That's what Paul was doing here. He was here exhorting them to continue in the faith. He was telling them, okay, continue. Okay, I'm going to leave. I'm heading out. Y'all continue. What you've learned, keep on doing it. But how do you reach it? Well, you have to start training the men that God gives you. And you start training them so they can preach and teach. And we started praying, God, give us men that we can teach. So during our summer months, we would be able to have at least 2 men on the different locations that could preach and teach the Word of God. And in 2012, we had 12 different campgrounds. And my dad went to one campground. I went to another. And on the other 10, there were at least 2 men that had went through our Bible training that had were able to open the scripture and preach the gospel.
Amen.
Because we allowed and God gave us the help to exhort them to continue in the faith. And the last thing, the way we reach our gypsy people, it's the hard part. Paul told them, and that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. Not only do we live as examples, and not only do we share a game plan and help them to continue, but also we sometimes go through grief, heartache. Oh, I could tell you the stories of men that I thought, man, they were going to pan out, and they just fell by the wayside. Even the young man that is now helping with the new baby church, I invested 5 of my years in him, training him. And then when I was back here in the States in 2012, he called me and said, hey, I got married. I said, oh, great, great. And I've been telling him, hey, I see God's working in your life. If you're going to get married, at least find somebody that is saved and baptized and growing in the Lord and is serving in the Lord. And so I asked him, yeah, okay, is she saved? And he goes, I don't know. What have I been preaching and teaching the last 5 years? But again, you have to rely on God, that God is working. And Romans 8:28 is always exact. He's going to make it good. And he can turn it. And to make a long story short, his wife, the woman that he did marry, was saved. The way she got saved, her grandmother just happened to stumble into a Russian Baptist church, heard the gospel, got saved, started living a life in front of her grandkids. that when the teenager got started going through some problems, she saw her grandma, that her grandma had something different, and she went to her grandma and said, "Grandma, I know you got something different. I need it." And her grandma had the privilege of showing her how to have forgiveness of sin. And I had the privilege of baptizing my preacher boy's wife. And then he moved 320 miles away. And guess what? He started applying those things that he had learned.
Amen.
He started witnessing to his in-laws. 2 years later, we had the privilege of baptizing 8 of his wife's relatives. And then this year in August, we went up and had the privilege of baptizing 15 more. Within the month of August, they found a place to rent their new building for the winter. And we had the first inaugural service on the 1st of September, 2018. He is now doing the majority of the preaching in Krefeld, a city that's 320 miles away from us. His dad now has stepped up and he's taking care of the church in Würzburg. The church in Bamberg, basically we have ordained a man and he's completely taken over that work. He also drives once a month over to Würzburg and helps out to encourage them. You ask, does God's game plan work? Yes, it works.
Amen.
It works for Paul and Barnabas on their first missionary trip. It works for missionaries in Germany in 2019. But you might have to go through grief.
Amen.
Even in your Christian life, God has a plan for your life. But sometimes that plan might lead us through grief. We're never guaranteed that we can have a bed of roses once we get saved. It's not in the Bible. God and the apostles told us time and time again that there will be trials and tribulation. Jesus even said, in the world there will be a lot of temptation. But he also added, be of good cheer, for I have overcame the world.
Amen.
Paul said that there is nothing, that with every temptation, he sends a way of escape. Now you say, oh, Bruce, that's easy for you to talk about. When you look back 20 years of what God's been doing, you have the final result. Anybody can say that. Well, what about 2019? In January 30th of January, we got a phone call that my father-in-law had a massive heart attack. We were in Louisiana about to leave and head to Florida for some meetings. And Joanna's on the phone and texting back and forth, and we're trying to figure out what's going on and if dad's going to make it or not. And really, we thought he was going to step out into glory. And we're praying and we're driving through the panhandle of Florida. And if you've ever driven that, there's nothing. Okay. And since that last hurricane, there's even less. The trees are gone. And so I'm driving and trying to have a pity party. Okay, us missionaries sometimes has that too. And we're pity party and trying, God, why? We live in Germany. It's 10-hour drive to my in-laws. The day it happened, I could have gotten in my car, driven there and been there. But now I'm here in the States on furlough, and God, I know it's your will for me to be here. And now I have all these meetings scheduled, and my wife's here, and her dad's dying. What are we going to do, and how is this going to work and everything? And this still, small voice started reminding me, Bruce, what have you been preaching about? What have you been telling all the churches about what I have been doing and how I have brought all this and that I'm working behind the scenes? And it was like God saying, Bruce, do you believe what you've been preaching? Do you believe that I am in control? Not just in your ministry and with the gypsies, but in your daily life, even in 2019. And driving through the panhandle, I had to humble myself and say, God, yes, I believe it. I trust you. I'm putting all my trust on you. And the hardest thing was to send my wife to Romania. And I knew it was God's will because God wanted, and I knew she needed, because we didn't know when she left, we thought she's going to go over there to help mom arrange for the body to be sent back. That's how bad it was. But at the same time, God, you want me to stay here with 5 kids. And the youngest one is 20 months and still in diapers. And we have mission conferences, new churches. I'm preaching. I'm teaching Sunday school. I'm presenting my ministry. I'm doing this and this. Plus being a single parent. God says, yes. Do you trust me that I'm going to send you a way of escape?
Amen.
And he did. I trust him, and I don't have the time to tell you everything that, how God blessed us. How he helped my dad, my father-in-law, to recover. Even when Joanna touched her feet on the ground in Romania, he woke up and his progress and how God's healing him. But also, we didn't have to cancel one meeting. I was able to meet every meeting. And also, with the babe, you men, you probably will enjoy this. With one of my horror thoughts was, I'm gonna get dressed up in my white shirt and my baby is going to have a blowout. And I'm going to be 30 minutes away, not have an extra shirt. And what? How am I going to do that? So I started praying, and God, help me. You know, that's my weakness. That I need help. That's something that I can't bear.
Amen.
And God, in his loving mercy, and his full of grace, he worked it out that every time we had a meeting, that my baby girl never had a messy diaper until we got to church. After I handed her off to the nursery worker. And bless the little hearts of those nursery workers. They would come to me every, like, here's your baby. Esther, she was so nice. And we changed her dirty diaper. She's all set for the night. Praise the Lord. And then the next day, hey, she had a wet one and a dirty one. And I'm not lying. For 1.5 weeks where we had a mission conference and a service every night and stuff, the only time it was during the nursery work. I did not have to change a dirty diaper those whole 10 days. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
And you might say, Bruce, that God didn't do that.
Yes, he did.
My God did.
That's right.
My God says he'll send me a way of escape, and he sent me that one. And each step of the way, he sent me a step of the way where for 52 days, I could travel with 5 kids, go to churches, present her and be without my wife, so my wife could be over in Romania, helping her dad, helping her mom. God still works in 2019.
Amen.
He works in our lives. He can work in your life too.
Amen.
The only hindrance is
me.
The person you look at every morning in the mirror. God is willing to do it. He wants to do it. The question is, are you willing?
Come on.
Are you willing to be like Paul and Barnabas, willing, okay, God is in control. He's working. Even though it's through hardship, He'll bring us through. He'll bring you through too. Just put your trust in Him. Let Him help you. Because you know what? Did you read the last part of that verse? Into the kingdom of God. Here on earth, that's not the end. We're just passing through. The end is glory. The end is heaven. He wants to get us there. He wants to get us there. And why did He bring us through trials and tribulation? So our faith can grow, our trust can grow, and also that we can then one day that He can bless us with rewards up in heaven. That's what He wants to do. Oh, if you could come with us, I could show you our gypsies that are learning these biblical truths. Seven churches have been established. They're already planning big tent meetings for this summer where we're going to meet, where all the different churches will gather and all the family members, and we get to preach the gospel. You can, at our table, you'll be able to see pictures, and we'll even let the DVD presentation run, and you can look at it and see faces and pictures of how God's been working. God is working. And I thank you so much for giving us the time this evening to preach and to share with you. But one thing, don't forget, God's working and God is in control. And He wants to do marvelous things with you because He wants to get all the glory and the honor. He wants you to brag on Him. He wants to bring you to a point like Paul and Barnabas where you can only give Him the glory and honor. And if you don't put your trust in Him, you'll never reach that point. Will you stand with me? I'll pray for you. And
He has that working.
He has it working?
It is working.
Okay. 5 minutes,
so.
It's 5 minutes. Okay.
Why don't you go ahead and show it?
Okay.
And we'll let you close this in prayer.
Okay.